JewishHistory.org presents Rabbi Beryl Wine's 5,000 Years of Jewish History, one video clip at a time. Clip number 10, the beginning of the monarchy in the land of Israel.
The prophet Samuel is the one that inaugurates the monarchy in the land of Israel. Now, he's opposed to the monarchy because he realizes that monarchs sometimes, in fact, most of the time, abuse their power. Nevertheless, he hearkens to the prophecy that the Lord has given him, and he crowns the first king of Israel, who is Saul. Saul is an enormous figure, both physically and spiritually. He was the tallest man amongst the Jews, and he was also almost free of sin. The rabbis say that he was like a one-year-old baby as far as sin was concerned. The rabbis say that in order for someone to be a leader, he has to have some bad experiences in his past. Someone who is perfect is not the right leader for the people. And I think that Saul is the example of that. In spite of his greatness, and in spite of everything that he tries to accomplish, it turns out to be a failed monarchy. And when he disobeys the instructions of Samuel in the war against Amalek, and Amalek is the epitome of the worst of the enemies of the Jewish people, the worst of the enemies of civilization. So then Samuel tells him that his crown will be taken away from him. He'll be stripped of it. There will be no dynasty of monarchy from Saul. Saul's son, Jonathan, is friends with a shepherd by the name of David. And David is chosen to be the successor to King Saul by Samuel. David is a composite of a person of enormous talents. He's a great fighter, a great general. He's an inspiring leader. He's a poet. He has a soul that allows him to be the author of Psalms. He is at one and the same time the great king and the great spiritual leader, the great holy person, and also the great human being. Many times we have holy people that are hardly human. It's hard to relate to them. But we can all relate in one way or another to King David. David, after Saul and Jonathan are killed in a war against the Philistines, David rallies his forces and makes war, and he finally solves the problem of the Philistines. He conquers them so that they no longer are a threat. He unites all the tribes of Israel, and he comes and founds the city of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem becomes his capital. It's called the City of David. The City of David today lies somewhat south of present-day Jerusalem, though it is included in the municipal boundaries of the city itself. David wants to build the temple because for this almost 500-year period of time, the temple had never been built yet. The Jews knew that they needed a temple, a central place of worship, but it had never been constructed until Jerusalem was conquered, until it was made fit to house the temple. The prophet comes to David and says, even though you have gathered all the material and you financed it and you're ready to go ahead with it, you're not the one that will build the temple because you're a warrior. You have spilled blood in your lifetime. And even though you may be justified in doing so, and everything is correct, but the temple is not built through the sword, and the temple is not built through the blood of others. And therefore your son, who will come from you, who is Solomon, he is the one who will build the temple, because he is someone that will never engage in war, and therefore he is the right person to build the temple. David dies at the age of 70. His legacy to the Jewish people is enormous still today. We all recite his prayers. We recite his psalms. He's the symbol of Jewish sovereignty, and he is seen as the father of the Jewish Messiah, of the great era when mankind will finally come to its happy and correct state of existence in this world. Thank you for watching. I'm Beryl Wine.
For more on Jewish history, go to jewishhistory.org.